Around the world, the Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. As always, we'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It's a great joy to be with you today. And I trust 2017 will be a year of redemption and a year of victory for you, the child of God. The number 20 in biblical numerology means redemption. The number 17 in biblical numerology stands for victory. Therefore, I decree redemption and victory in your life, your home, your family, your marriage, everything about you. I pray that God's grace, God's mercy will abound as never before. This is a new year. The Jewish New Year starts in the fall of the year. But in America, we have our new year according to the Gregorian calendar, which was established by Pope Gregory. And that's why I amusingly am amazed at those who say, well, I'm keeping the Sabbath. Well, you're keeping a Sabbath that was established by the Catholic Church. Therefore, we glorify God every day. Every day. You see, I'm not sure that anyone knows exactly what today is. Today is supposed to be Tuesday. But on God's calendar, what day is it? So in Psalms 118, verse 24, the psalmist said, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it." Every day is the day which the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. As a matter of fact, some Jewish scholars teach that as Jesus was going to the Garden of Gethsemane, he quoted that scripture in Psalms 118:24. "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Can you imagine rejoicing in that day as he went into the Garden of Gethsemane? And he labored so profusely in prayer that the Bible says in Luke 22:44, "And being in agony, he prayed the more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling to the ground." What an agonizing prayer. Looking into that bitter cup, witnessing the wicked dregs that he would have to drink for your sins and for my sins, and the sins of the whole world. As Christians, we need to be mindful of the pain and the suffering that Messiah endured, that you and I might be able to have life and have that life more abundantly. I'm humbled by the great work that Christ wrought on the cross of Calvary. His blood was shed, not spilled, as some would say. When you spill something, that is an accident. When you shed something, that is intentional and purposeful. Therefore, Luke 9:22, without shedding of blood, there is no redemption for sin. Simply put, blood had to be shed for there to be redemption. Without shedding of blood is no redemption. Actually, the King James says remission, forgiveness, to be bought back. If Ephesians 1:7, Paul said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. So many scriptures point to the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why I love to preach about the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his son cleanseth us from all sin. Isn't that awesome? All sin by the blood. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. And then we drop down to verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What cleanses us is the blood of the Lamb. And aren't you glad that blood was shed? Not spilled. I've heard that term used in sermons and in songs that people have written. His blood was spilled. No, it wasn't. It was shed. The shedding of innocent blood. Well, I want to talk to you today about the United Nations Resolution 2334. Why is that so significant? Because God's master time piece is Israel. There is a Muslim in the White House, and he stabbed Israel on his way out. See, you've got to understand the hatred that Muslims have toward Israel, or as they deem them, the Zionists, and you and I are the infidels. If you do not believe in God, all you need to do is go and read the book of Zechariah. I shared with you in the last three programs from Genesis 49, verses 8 through 11, about Judah. But let's forget all of those prophecies that are so profound, so deep, that it literally begs description. I share with you from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. We witnessed that prior to the Last Supper, as he sent his disciples to get that colt and the foal of that ass and to bring them to him. And of course, he rode into Jerusalem and they cried, Hosanna, Hosanna. But it wouldn't be long before they would cry, crucify him, crucify him, away with him. What a sad story, but it had to come to fruition. It had to come to pass because Jesus had to die. Jesus had to die. And I'm so glad he died for us. I want to go today to the book of Zechariah, chapter 12. We want to read verses 1 through 3. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in a siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Maybe you're listening to this program for the first time. Maybe you listen with apprehension. Maybe you're atheistic. Maybe you're agnostic. Maybe you're an infidel. Whatever the case, whatever the state you might be spiritually, Zechariah chapter 12 should let you know without any doubt, without any reservation, there is a God in heaven. I find it absolutely amazing that the leader of Venezuela could be so engrossed, so enamored with the little nation of Israel. What difference does it make to take one of Hillary Clinton's statements? Well, it makes the difference because God has spoken it. God has decreed it. God has declared it. What? What has God decreed? What has God declared? I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Everyone is against Israel for the most part. This past year, 2016. Now listen to this. The United Nations decreed 20 resolutions against Israel. 20, no less than 20. What is significant about that? Well, they only decreed one resolution against North Korea, one against Syria, one against Iran, one against Russia, and 20 against Israel. 20? The only democratic nation in the Middle East. Why is there this hatred? Why is this anti-Semitism so great? You've got to understand, Israel gave us the Bible. Now, I know that makes people livid. And I understand my pundits and my detractors. Well, those people over there in Israel are not the Israel of God. You have a very, 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 very valid point. And I wouldn't dispute that point. Other than to say to you what Paul said in Romans 9 and verse 6, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. You see, knowing the word of God, you know they are not all Israel. Let me quote that again, Romans 9 and verse 6. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now what Paul is telling us here in Romans chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. In other words, Paul is saying God's word did not fail. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Now, what does that mean? That means everyone that's born and says, well, we're of the seed of Abraham, are not the true seed of Abraham, because you have this fellow named Ishmael, which was not the promised seed. He was, for better lack of terms, He was a child of fornication because Hagar was not the wife. She was a concubine. She was not the wife of Abram. But Sarai was the wife of Abram. And the promise was made to Sarah and Abraham, and not to Abraham and Hagar. And so Paul is declaring that the word of God did not fail, but in reality, Abraham failed in not trusting God. Then here in Romans 9 and 7, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. It was the promised seed that Isaac fulfilled, not Ishmael. So when people say to me, well, you know, the people that are over there are not the true Israel of God. Well, you have to understand the scriptures. You see, the Pharisees in John chapter 8, when Jesus said in John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now Jesus did not once refute the Pharisees and declare, Abraham is not your father, because Jesus understood they were of the seed of Ishmael. But who fathered Ishmael? Abraham. This is why people don't understand the Bible. See? Jesus said, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. And of course, they became very livid, and they said to him, we be not born of fornication. Why would they even mention fornication? Because in their consciences, they knew they were of the seed of Ishmael, not the seed of Isaac. That was the promised seed, which in the end would bring forth the seed of Jesus Christ. So, Paul said they are not all Israel. That says they're Israel. Let me throw you a real curve in this teaching today. I want you to see the magnitude and the gravity. Let's look at Romans 9 and 6 again. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, or in other words, not as though the word of God hath failed. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Now, Paul makes that clear. They're not all Israel over there. But then he says in Romans 11 and 26, and so all Israel shall be saved as it is written. Well, how can all of Israel be saved? That is talking about the Israel of God, not the Israel of Abraham and Hagar and Ishmael, but the Israel of Abraham and Sarah. That's the Israel of God that will be saved. And let's take it another step further in Galatians 3:29. If ye are Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. You and I, as blood-bought, born-again children of God, have become the seed of Abraham, and we are joint heirs. Galatians 3:29, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This is why when you get my new book, and we are to be getting it any time, the first print, so I can proofread it and have some other people proofread it. But this is how you and I as Gentiles were adopted. Ephesians 1 and 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So you and I have been grafted in. And you and I are no more strangers and foreigners. but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Ephesians 2 and 19. You see, the Jews are not going to be joined to a Gentile body. The Gentiles are not going to be joined to a Jewish body. But we are all going to be joined unto the body of Jesus Christ, which is the church, his body. So this misnomer that the church is the bride of Christ is as bogus as it gets. You see, Jesus said in Matthew 22 and 30, "For they are as the angels in heaven," talking about the resurrection, "for they neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they are as of the angels in heaven." There's no marriage in heaven. When people tell you we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb for 7 years, there's no Bible for that. Jesus said there is no marriage in heaven. Jesus said there's no marriage at all in heaven. Yet they will tell you, well, we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb. No, we're not. That's not Bible. "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." There's no marriage in heaven, folks. I heard a gentleman the other day on Sid Roth make that ludicrous statement again. I thought, how long will you be purveyors of lies? Now, obviously, I don't think they're intentionally lying. They just don't understand the scriptures. They just don't understand the Word of God. They're just purveyors of what they've been told in time past. Getting back to my initial point, if you don't believe in Jehovah, if you do not believe in Elohim, if you do not believe in Yahweh, if you do not believe in Jehovah Nissi, all you have to do is read Zechariah chapter 12, 13, and 14, and you will come to understand there is a God in heaven, and that God, Jehovah, is going to make Jerusalem a burdensome stone, a heavy stone for all people, not just some, but for all people. By the way, you and I are told, I wouldn't say it's a commandment. There are many commandments. Jesus said, a new commandment that I give you, that you ought to love one another. But it's almost a commandment in Psalms 122 and 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Why do you think America has been such a prosperous nation? We've always embraced Israel. 7 minutes. 7 minutes. After Israel declared themselves to be a statehood and a nation, May the 14th, 1948, America's president, Harry Truman, recognized Israel as a nation. May the 14th, 1948, 7 minutes after they raised the flag, the Star of David, America said, "We recognize your statehood. You're listening to me right now. You're not even saved. And the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart. And when you listen to me and I share the Word of God, that Jerusalem will become a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut into pieces." You're like, why in the world does all of these nations at the United Nations get so enamored with Israel? Why Israel? It's the devil, folks. It's called anti-Semitism. They're anti-Semitic. They hate Israel. And Jesus told the disciples there in Matthew 24, he said, "You're going to be hated by all nations because of me." You're going to be hated of all nations. And this hatred, and this is why we know we're living in the last days, because the hatred through this administration is growing exponentially. Matthew 24:9, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. This is why they're hated. This is why the world hates them. John 4:22. Jesus said, ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now that makes a lot of my listeners livid and mad and hate me. Well, don't get mad at me. Don't hate me. Don't go hating on me. Talk to Jehovah. He's the one that said, for salvation is of the Jews. The Jews gave us the Bible. The Jews gave us Jesus. If you don't understand Matthew chapter 12, you're really behind the eight ball. Matthew 12 gives us a plethora of insight and the time span of Israel as a nation. Revelation 12. Verse 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, I want to help you to understand that one verse right there. Some of you listening to me, you read the book of Revelation because you want to understand the book of Revelation, but you don't understand the book of Revelation because the people that are teaching the book of Revelation don't understand the revelation. That was a mouthful. Let's look at that again. Let us look at that again and see if we can glean something from that. Let's look at it again. Revelation 12 and 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now you see that. The sun, the moon, and a crown of 12 stars. Now where does that come from? That comes from Genesis 37 and 9. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. Now, to show you that Jacob/Israel understood that, here's what Jacob's reply was to Joseph. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? Are you kidding me, Joseph? Well, guess what? They did. But I want you to understand that in Genesis 37 and 9, it would be 12 stars, but see, it says 11. Why? Because Joseph was the 12th star. See, that I hope that makes at least common sense to you. When John the Revelator sees Israel as a woman and a son and the moon under her feet and 12 stars, that's the 12 tribes of Israel. The woman is symbolic of Israel. Okay, Revelation 12 and 2. She, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Who brought forth the Messiah? The nation of Israel. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. These 7 crowns represent 7 dispensational satanic kingdoms: Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persian, Greece, Rome, and one is yet to come. That'll be the end time beast government. We've had 6 of the crowns. We're waiting for the 7th. And his tail, this is Lucifer now, Satan. And his tail drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. In other words, one third of the angels fell with Lucifer. They cast their lot with Lucifer in the pre-Adamite rebellion. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, Satan is not fully terminated from coming to heaven or excommunicated, but he still comes periodically to the throne of God. And, of course, if you keep reading this 12th chapter, you'll see that in verses 9 and 10. And his objective is to falsely accuse the brethren. He's falsely accusing the brethren. That's what he's doing. Now, excuse me. As soon as Jesus was born, what did old Herod do? He sought to kill Jesus. He sought to kill the Messiah. You see, that's what the Bible tells us here in Revelation. And the dragon stood before the woman. Stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Satan sought to kill Jesus Christ just as soon as he was born. Remember the wise men went to see the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Magi. And they had a dream. Herod, he said, when you have searched diligently and you have found the young child, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Guess what? That was Satan's method of trying to devour the child as soon as Christ was born. Matthew 2:16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. And that fulfilled the prophecy in the book of Jeremiah 31 and 15. In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. So Herod sought to kill Jesus as soon as he was born. Verse 5, Revelation 12 and 5. And she brought forth a man-child, Jesus, Israel the nation, and was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was called up unto God and to his throne. Now that verse 5 covers his coming, death, burial, resurrection, his ascension, waiting for the Father to tell him when to come back and get the church, get the people of God, his body, the body of Christ. And he will rule with what? He'll rule all nations with a rod of iron. Is that not Revelation 19? Is that not exactly the words of Revelation 19 when Christ returns? Revelation 19 and 15. And out of his mouth goeth the sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Now, I know many of my pre-tribulationist detractors will tell me that in Revelation 12, that's the 144,000 Jews. I don't see how in God's name anybody could get that out of these scriptures. In Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, I don't understand to this day how all of these so-called theologians like Finnis J. Dake That's a Bible that Benny Hinn promotes profusely. Dake's annotated Bible. I have one. I've studied the man's notes, and they are as erroneous as they get. You cannot read Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, and say for a minute, that's the 144,000 Jews. It's as clear as the nose on your face. It's that plain. The dragon stood before the woman when she was ready to be delivered. Satan saw ASAP to kill Jesus Christ. And Israel brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron. Was to rule. See, it's not happening yet. Futuristic, future tense, was to. And her child, Jesus, was called up unto God and to his throne. So how people can get that, I mean, that just blows my mind that people could skew the scriptures that terribly. But as I've said many times, men have done more damage to the word of God than the devil ever tried to do. Now, of course, the devil has used them. The devil has raised them up. 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, I want to get to my UN Resolution 2334. The president of these United States was behind this resolution. Benjamin Netanyahu has said emphatically, we have proof. Of course, John Kerry, last Wednesday, spoke for, I don't know, well over an hour, and that we didn't do that. We're working hard to get peace. Why, John Kerry, are you so concerned about peace in the Middle East? Now, listen to me, folks. Even Donald Trump has said we want to secure peace. I was talking with a brother just the other day. I said, let me assure you of one thing. Israel will never lose a battle. You will not witness Israel be defeated before the second advent of Christ. Now, let me clarify that statement. Israel is going to be hammered unbelievably in the Great Tribulation period. And they will ultimately lose, and that is what causes them to cry out to Messiah for deliverance. Zechariah 14, verses 1, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. They're going to be hammered, and that will be the thing that will cause them to turn back to the Messiah. This is why this is so dangerous for America. Now, I've said for 25 years, America will either be annihilated and destroyed and not able to defend Israel, or something will happen that we cannot get to them and give them aid and assistance. They will be left to themselves and Jehovah. They will be left to themselves and Jehovah. We are told in Genesis 12 and 3, I will bless those that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. Now, I've did this and said this for years. I want you to watch this. Genesis 12, verse 3. I will bless those that bless thee. The word those is a pronoun, and it's plural, those. I will bless those that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. God goes from those multitudes, nations, whoever it might be, all the way down to the pronoun him, an individual. I will curse him that curseth thee. Barack Hussein Obama has a curse on him. Yes, sir. He very well has issued an edict from God to judge America in the coming days. I wouldn't be surprised if we had a earthquake that was devastating, horripilating, horrendous. It would not amaze me if something bizarre, totally out of the realm of simple understanding, would happen. And people say, I just can't believe this. Just like 9/11, watching planes fly into buildings. Every time America has taken a stand against Israel, especially through our presidents, we've been hammered. We have been hammered. Some of you will remember this distinctly. On May the 19th, 2011, Barry Sirota told Israel they must return to the pre-1967 borders. 3 days later, on May the 22nd, a half-mile-wide EF-5 multiple vortex tornado ripped through Joplin, Missouri. It was the costliest single tornado in U.S. history. Joplin. Joplin is a derivative of the word Job. Job means affliction. God afflicted this nation. We had a supporter. His name was John. I can only surmise he was killed in that tornado. We never heard from the man again. Never heard from him again. He went to be with the Lord. These things are not happenstance. I prophetically said in 2005, you will remember this. I remember with what George Bush done. He convinced Israel it was necessary to remove all of the Jewish settlers out of Gaza and turn it over completely to the Palestinians. According to the New York Times, the last of the settlers were evacuated on August the 23rd, 2005. If you will remember, there were videos of Israeli soldiers dragging out Israeli citizens out of their homes. And I said two things that day. See, I only do radio programs twice a week, Mondays and Tuesdays. Things can happen Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, before I get back to the air. But I watched the weeping, the crying, the turmoil as the Israeli soldiers physically drug Israeli citizens out of their homes. And I said, this nation will suffer a judgment from God. And you all remember Katrina. Katrina means cleansing or purging. It started in the Bahamas. It came across the state of Florida, got into the Gulf of Mexico, and exploded. The costliest disaster in all of U.S. history up to that time. The member of the levee broke in New Orleans. Rioting, pillaging, shooting, killing. People getting up in their attics and drowning. Getting on the roofs, drowning. believable disaster. And I said, you cannot do this. George W. Bush, second president Bush, told Ariel Sharon, you're going to have to do this. You see, though we have so, it's amazing how many Democrats like Chuck Schumer, who loves Israel, and there's a lot of bipartisan support for the nation of Israel. But you got to understand, Obama's a Muslim. I still marvel today when you say Barack Hussein Obama, and people say that's an American. How can you be so? I don't want to be condescending here. How can you be so ignorant and believe that? The man says, I'm a Christian. How can you believe that? How can people believe the lie? Well, I know. I'm asking an ignorant question because they're deceived. They are deceived. That's how they do it. And as I said many times, deceived people think they are entirely correct. They can't see they're deceived. That's the power of deception. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'm kind of going backwards. I won't get to the end. I may slide the last one in just to prove my point. The next series of events was on April the 30th, 2003, called The Roadmap to Peace. I did a CD series on that. It was developed by the so-called Quartet. And, of course, they presented it to Ariel Sharon by the U.S. Ambassador Daniel Kurtzer. It was entitled The Roadmap to Peace. Over the next 7 days, the United States was hit with a staggering 412 tornadoes. It was the largest tornado cluster ever recorded up to that time. May the 3rd, 1999. Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat was supposed to hold a press conference to declare the creation of a Palestinian state with Jerusalem as the capital. On that precise day, the most powerful tornadoes ever recorded in U.S. history ripped through Oklahoma and Kansas. At one point, one of the tornadoes was actually recorded. Its wind speed was 316 miles an hour. 316 miles an hour. That's unfathomable. This has been the pattern. Time will not allow me to share all of these catastrophic events, but I want to look at two before I leave. The last time the United States government refused to veto an anti-Israeli resolution at the United Nations was on March the 22nd, 1979. 4 days later, on March the 26th, the Egypt-Israel peace treaty was signed in Washington. As a result, Israel had to give up a portion of their territory. 2 days later, the worst nuclear power plant disaster and U.S. history made global headlines. Three Mile Island accident was a partial nuclear meltdown. See, I don't know what God will allow to take place. See, America could have vetoed that resolution a week or so ago. And we didn't. Many of you will remember this incident. October the 30th, 1991, George Herbert Walker Bush opened the Madrid Peace Conference, which brought Israelis and Palestinians together to negotiate for the very first time. In his opening speech, Bush told Israel that territorial compromise is essential for peace. And at that exact same time, the perfect storm was brewing in the North Atlantic. That legendary storm traveled 1,000 miles the wrong direction. It sent 35-foot waves slamming directly into President Bush's home in Kennebunkport, Maine. Listen, you don't mess with God. And then, that was in 1991 of October. Then, in 1992, August the 23rd, the Madrid Peace Conference was moved to Washington, D.C., again, putting pressure on Israel. The next day, Hurricane Andrew made landfall in Florida, causing $30 billion in damage, the worst natural disaster up to that time in history. We have to keep saying up to that time. Why? Because each event escalates up to that time. Then we have the next one up to that time and up to that time. And it goes on and on and on. It doesn't cease. My question is today, as we study United Nations Resolution Number 2334, what will God do when we failed to raise our hand and use our veto power? Folks, I hope and pray Donald Trump can drain the swamp. I don't see it happening. It's too corrosive. It's too corrupt. It's too vile. It's too vulgar. I believe he will be able to do a few things. I believe this is literally a reprieve. God just pushed the pause button. Everything is engaged. I'm not so sure. What we're witnessing and Donald Trump's cabinet makeup is an omen of a forthcoming third world war beginning in the Middle East. Have you ever witnessed, those of you who are my age and older, have you ever witnessed a president putting so many qualified generals in his cabinet? Mad Dog Mathis? And the list goes on. What will 2017 bring forth? Well, as I said, 20 means redemption, 17 means victory. I pray in your life personally there will be redemption and there will be great victories this year. I want to encourage you to keep fasting and praying this month. This is the month of January. Always here at the Voice of Evangelism, we fast and pray. In the month of January of every year. Usually we fast at least 21 days. I invite you to fast with me. You say, I can't fast 21 days. That's fine. Fast what you can. Eat nothing but fruit and vegetables. That's what Daniel did for 21 days. He was 89 years old, though, but at least do something and show God you mean business. Don't eat bread for 30 days. Don't eat meat for 30 days. Don't eat anything sweet for 30 days. Make a sacrifice unto God. Make a sacrifice unto God. Listen, God honors our humility. God honors our humility. James 4:6, he resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. When you fast, you're humbling your soul. Psalms 35:13, David said, I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my bosom. Jesus said in Matthew 17:21, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Some things will never happen until you fast. Again, we witness as God says in Zechariah chapter 12, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. God says, I'll cut you to pieces. I want to encourage you, and even my detractors and haters and pundits, you better pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Because I don't care what anyone says, Israel is God's master timepiece, God's master time clock. Everything that God does evolves around Israel. Remember, the outer court, Revelation 11 and 3, the outer court is given unto the Gentiles and will be trodden underfoot of the Gentiles. But when all of that is fulfilled, Jesus says, I'm coming back. I'm returning in my power, in my glory, and in my kingdom. I'm coming. And we're not ignorant. We're not in darkness that we don't see these things. 1 Thessalonians 5:1, but of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. This is to never catch the child of God asleep or in darkness. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. I'm not in the darkness. You're not in the darkness. You're in the light. Walk in that light. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. I encourage you to fast and pray with this month, because I know God will bless your untiring efforts. Amen.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.